Blog Talk Radio.
Stop the ass, stop the ass. Get a friend's opinion fast. So many kids, young or old. Try no matter what your goal.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russell Foisey, and I am your host for the Original Lyric Stream radio show. Very cool to have my own show, and I want to say a big thank you to my friend Bill Miller on the dashboard this evening, my sound engineer uploading the music from our guests. My website is russellfoiseymusic.com. That's F as in Frank, O-I-S-Y. I am a singer, songwriter, producer, and I have recorded 2 albums. My social media is on Spotify, iTunes, Reverb Nation, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. The song you just heard is my own, titled Stomp the Ants. Ants stands for Automatic Negative Thought Syndrome. So many can'ts, young or old, try no matter what you're told. And on this show, can't is a word we do not recognize. Our goal with Original Lyric Stream Radio is to pay it forward to the individual listening tonight with a desire to begin as a singer, songwriter, composer, musician, or engineer in our creative arts. And I will be speaking with guests in the weeks ahead that will tell their own story and inspiration behind the music. My own writing inspiration has come from life experience, current events, and family. And I wrote my very first song lyrics in 2012. So if I can do it, listeners out there, you can do it as well, so please try. As an introduction to our next guest interview, you're viewing a slideshow of a very talented artist, Randy Wayne Belt. Let's play a great track from Randy titled, Come On Down, Hey.
From the
very smooth, great rhythm, great artistry, great instrumentation. Let me introduce the multi-talented singer, songwriter, and musician, Randy Wayne Belt. Randy, thank you so much for joining me on Original Lyric Stream Radio.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your show.
Great. Thank you. And, you know, I mentioned in my introduction to start the show, our goal is to pay it forward to the person, you know, listening tonight with a goal to be involved with the music industry. Love paying it forward. And I'll ask a series of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little better. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you tell our listeners, Randy, about the great track we just heard, Come On Down, Hey?
Yeah, that one's kind of, it's a little more obscure because it wasn't really promoted a lot, but it's actually really, really, it's one of my favorite tracks on that album, actually. I think the mandolin really gave it a flavor that it didn't have before. And that was a song, it was written to be a song of comfort to a good friend of mine, Candace Marshall. And you could really feel it in the song, you know, the comforting of the song, and just kind of lulls you into it. It's almost like a lullaby in a way. But
yeah, I would agree. I could see, if I closed my eyes, I could see myself in a hammock, you know, on the beach listening to that track.
Yeah.
Yeah, just and wonderful. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that one I wrote. It kind of just, you know, it was guitar and vocal and slowly added the other instruments and just let the song grow itself, sort of, if you know what I mean. What it wanted the mandolin. It, like, was crying for a mandolin, so that had to go on there. And so it kind of put itself together, and it turned out really nice in the end.
No, beautiful blend of the mandolin and acoustic guitar.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Randy, tell our listeners, what's that?
I was going to say, have you experienced that in songwriting with when a song just kind of comes together on its own?
Oh, yes. I mean, well, I'll have a question for you later about lyrics and songwriting, but, we're constantly, as songwriters, we're constantly walking around with ideas in our head, and you better have a voice recorder or a pen handy because you want to lose that moment. So, tell our listeners, Randy, where you're from and part of your upbringing.
I'm from around the St. Louis area. That's where I was born, in St. Louis, and have lived around throughout Missouri, both in rural and urban areas. So I kind of got a feel for. Well, I had a country accent for a while when I was a kid because I moved down to Sedalia, which is close to Lake of the Ozarks, north of there. And then later on moved back to St. Louis region area, which is a pretty big area. And it's really a crossroads of a lot of types of music. So I was exposed to so many different kinds of music. I mean, we're a home of blues and jazz, and then there's, you know, a pretty good rock scene as well. Just a lot of things come together, and I think you kind of hear that in the music that I write. All the influences come together and ends up being something that's not anything you can really put a label on, kind of its own thing. And I think you heard that with, like, people like Sheryl Crow, who's from the St. Louis or Missouri area, too.
Oh, love Sheryl Crow.
She had a lot of influences. You can hear that in her music.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you mentioned Sheryl Crow. Any other artists, I'm sure there's plenty, that have motivated you and inspired you?
Yeah, quite a few. I mean, my first time I heard something I knew I wanted to do music was when I found a 45 record in the attic at my parents' house. And when I was a kid, I was about 8 or 9 years old, maybe even somewhere around that age. And it was the Beatles. And that was my first introduction to that. And me and my brothers, I had two brothers that shared a room. And we found these sticks in the attic that looked like guitars. So we would pretend that we were playing guitar. So we were doing air guitar, I guess you could say. And we would do it in our window. And there was this old lady who lived across the street. And she would be in her kitchen window doing her dishes and stuff every night. And we'd get up in the window and we'd play the Beatles music really loud and pretend we were performing for her. And she would be dancing around and smiling at us. And It was pretty funny.
The evolution of the Beatles. She loves the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah to the White Album. What a contrast, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. The Beatles are tremendous. And really all four members, right? I mean, in a group and then on their own solo, the number of songs. I mean, you probably can't even keep track of them.
Yeah, so many.
So many. So, Randy, you're the front man for Barley Station, top 10, top indie recording artist, and you've had number one and top 10 songs on many mainstream charts. And I know we share a common chart with the Independent Music Network. I've had two number one songs there in the past. And in fact, on my laptop, I have just an interview you did with ADA Live Radio. I've been on that platform a couple of times as well.
Yeah.
First, congratulations on your success, and please tell us more on, you know, Barley Station members and your type of sound.
Well, Barley Station right now is pretty much just just me. I've had, it's kind of like a, throughout the years have been a project where I've had different people coming in and put their influence in, and some of my old bandmates. And hang on 1 second. All right, sorry about that. I had a distraction there.
That's all right.
That would have been cats meowing. But yeah, Barley Station is now just myself.
Okay.
When I go back out on stage again, I'll have people come with me to do that. And I think one of the things that's helped, you know, in the past, having different people come in is you get different influences and different ideas, and you draw that from other people. I've had bandmates that, you know, that have been very talented that I have watched, you know, how they approach a song and build on it. And I think we've all kind of inspired each other and influenced each other. And, you know, a lot of places, local scenes, there's a lot of bands who have changed members, and people have been in and out, and they all kind of know each other and support each other, and have probably influenced each other too, to a greater degree. But then going into
It's almost like the Steely Dan approach. You know, Steely Dan was Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, two members, and then when they go out on the road, they just filled the entire stage with, you know, with musicians. But credits are only given to those two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the albums that we put out were me and my bandmate Brian, who's currently doing his own thing right now, doing a solo project, and has another group, the Gin Tonics. And a shout out to him if he's listening. But he was on a lot of the tracks from some of the previous albums. But this album here that's going to come out soon, I'll tell you about that later, I think, doesn't have a lot of input from other people on it. It's kind of like all the input I've had conglomerated and then coming out in the recording studio.
Well, Randy, tell me about your artistic edge that you've gained, you know, through your, and I knew you've done musical theater and acting as well. How is that correlated with your music?
That's really been influenced. Well, first of all, because when you do musical theater, you get introduced to a lot of the greatest songwriters that there have ever been, you know, in the past, in the last century, Leonard Bernstein and Rodgers and Hammerstein and, you know, all the really great writers that have melodies that are memorable to this day. You know, songs
Leonard
that
Cohen.
A lot of people don't even think about. Yeah, sorry. And, all the musicals like West Side Story and South Pacific and all the scores from those things, you know, were ingrained into me. And so that influenced me in, you know, melodically, because I'm very much a melody person. I like to get the melody. And then also the experience of being on stage, it's similar with music, you know, making sure that you are playing to the audience and how to do that. And the important things on stage, like I've had experiences in theater where One play I was in high school, there was some people didn't come out on the stage when their lines were due, and I didn't know what to do, so I just started making stuff up. So you learn to improvise because you don't want, you know, dead air, or you don't want dead silence, you don't want to leave your audience wondering what's going on, so you just make something up, and that helped a lot on stage. You know, experiences when the electricity has gone out, your amps suddenly don't work, and it's 100 degrees in the venue, and you're sweating and dripping sweat down your arms and your frets of your guitar, just all the challenges that can come your way. And you kind of learn how to deal with it, and I think that experience helped in that, being on stage and dealing with issues that you don't expect.
Right, right. No, that's a great answer, and listeners, you know, take part in that answer, you know, improvise at all times, because anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned earlier, I always have a next track with lyrics and melodies. I also love both. You know, I'm thinking about genre. I'm thinking about the writing experience, the inspiration. I don't have any pressure to finish a song in one writing session. So I could do, you know, two verses and say that. I could do one verse and a chorus and say that. What is your, you know, lyrical writing process like?
It's really very varied. Sometimes it's like what you just said. You know, I'll have an idea that'll come and I'll take it down, and I'll do it like on my phone recorder. You know, just a verse and a melody real quick. Or sometimes if you have the right mood, the right atmosphere, I can just sit down and write the whole thing right then. So it's, you know, it's varied, very different from one song to another. But I always kind of wait for the inspiration to come on a song. If I'm writing something and I get stuck, I'll go back to it, because if you try to force it, it's not going to come out as good as it should be. And I've had songs I've gone back to 10 years later. I had a song I put aside 10 years later. I came to it and just absolutely the right inspiration came. It was just what the song needed. And I put it together and ta-da, you know, it was there. Whereas if I would have forced it, it would probably have been a different song. It probably wouldn't have been as good, because when you force it, it's just not inspired.
No, that's a great response, and I feel exactly the same way. There are songs I've written in 10 minutes. The one that we played earlier, Stomp the Ants, that was quick. The inspiration came to me, and you're just, you know, you're typing away. So it varies, but everyone out there, if you want to be a songwriter, make sure you have a voice recorder on your smartphone. Make sure you have a pen and something to write down really quick, because if you forget to do it, you hate to lose that moment and then, you know, forget that thought completely. So let's play another great track. Let's play the second track from our guest tonight, Randy Wayne Belt, and this is titled Like Destiny.
Apparition or ghostly gaze.
great track. Let's welcome back in Randy. Randy, please tell me the inspiration behind Like Destiny.
Like Destiny. That one's kind of... Well, you know what? I think a lot of people will look, take a song and they'll look at the lyrics of a song and they find something that, that means something to them in it. And if you go and you explain, hey, this is what the song means, and you break it down, you've kind of probably ruined somebody's vision of something. So I don't like to always do that. But I think that song's pretty self-explanatory in a lot of ways. I mean, it's the longing, looking for the right person in your life, you know, the love of your life sort of thing, you know, like destiny, you know, will it happen, that sort of thing. But
yeah,
it can mean a lot of different
things. Falls into real life experience, and that's one of my categories. Boy, the amount of lyrics you can write to real life experience around you. So that's great inspiration there. So I think I became aware of you on Facebook, and I'm on Facebook all the time. I absolutely love it. I think I have 5 pages. But you know, I've connected with so many brilliant artists in Facebook alone, and I did notice you playing an awesome cover of Take It Easy by the Eagles, which is one of my favorite bands. I mean, it's either one or two. I'll say rest in peace, Glenn Frey. Sorely missed.
Yeah.
But
he was one of my mentors.
His son now, Deacon, is in the forefront, and Vince Gill in the Eagles. So they're still doing it, and it's not better than ever. And I'm glad they didn't shut it down, and I'm glad they, you know, kept on going. And Don Henley's still the Don Henley and Joe Walsh, you know, still doing it. I think they're mid 70s or something like that.
They're getting up there.
The Eagles, one of your favorite bands as well?
Yeah. And those guys love what they're doing, and that's why they're still doing it. I mean, it's just, it's all about music. I mean, that was their life, you know, their whole life, through the ups and downs of it all. But yeah, that was one of my big influences. The Eagles, Glenn Frey in particular, was a big influence on me. The way he sings, you know, his guitar style, and the way they put things together, and as you know, as a composer, he and Don Henley, because they had a lot of songwriters that they worked with, like John David Souther and Jack Temchin and people like that, you know, from Peace and Easy Feeling, and they would take songs that other people wrote or started writing or wrote with them, and just turned into an absolute masterpiece. And that was, I think, if you study the greats like the Eagles, you can't go wrong. You know, the Eagles, the Beatles, and, going back in the past.
Yeah, a lot of similarities between the Eagles and the Beatles with the members and, the band works and then the solo works. You know, the Eagles and their solo stuff, I mean, another situation where there's just hundreds and hundreds of songs. And, just fantastic talent. And Vince Gill is a perfect addition. I mean, ever since Pure Prairie League and, his harmonies and his voice. And I saw him with Sting in an episode on Crossroads. Oh, you got to check that out if you haven't seen it.
It's unbelievable. I did a post on that on my Facebook page, actually, a little section of those two. Yeah, that was pretty neat.
I couldn't believe how well Vince Gill played guitar. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, he's good. And,
tremendous.
Yeah, he's a good addition because, with those harmonies, he's all about harmonies and stuff he's done, with his wife, Amy Grant, and just the magical harmony that they had together, too. It's just amazing. The guy can, harmonize with anything, probably a vacuum. I mean, that's always, been my goal, too, is to be able to learn harmonies really well, and I've done that. And you can make harmony with anything, the motor of a car, has a frequency. And I think I kind of like learn harmonies in a way from that. You hear the vacuum humming, and you're like, you find the pitch that it's on and come up with a harmony with it. And it sounds weird to some people, but it's all about sound and harmonics and with music, anything, the music of life. It's just
I'm very big into sound effects. I like sound effects blended into a track, and the track you heard earlier, Stomp the Ants.
Yeah.
I felt that needed like a marching type of stomp effect. And Pink Floyd is another, band that I greatly admire. And they've used sound effects, for years blended into their, concept. album. So I really like sound effects. If it's a fit, you don't want to force it.
Yeah, so you don't want to just throw a vacuum cleaner on your album or anything. But yeah, I mean, I've done that too. I've used some sound effects. Like for the song you just heard, there's a gong in the beginning. It's an instrument, it was more of a sound effect. It was kind of a point in the album where we were kind of reintroducing it, you know, the reset point, and the gong kind of wakes you up and, hey, here you go, and there it is. But I need to do that more, I think. I probably will in the future, use more sound effects and things like that.
Yeah, if the lyrics fit, I think it's good to add that in there. That adds the theatrical quality of the track.
Yeah, definitely.
So my first recording, Randy in studio, was titled just like the show, original lyrics Dream, and it was my dream come true with my own lyrics and recorded songs. Has anyone told you dreams are not possible in your compositions and musical process?
Well, I mean, ever since I was a kid, there's always people that are like, well, you can't do that. The music industry is too hard. There's too many people in it. You know, there's too many songwriters. You have to be really good, which is almost like saying you're no good or you can't be. But yeah, and there's a lot of things to overcome with that. You know, when you have people and your own family and stuff that have been in the music industry or whatever, and they know how it is and how tough it is. But, you know, I don't do music, to be famous or to make a lot of money. I do it because it's who I am. And it's what I do. It's how I operate. It's my therapy. I mean, it's everything. So I don't really worry about that so much.
And no, think, that's well said. You know, music has gone through so many changes, which leads into my next question. You know, the music industry has changed completely. You know, back in the day, you could go into a brick and mortar store and buy albums, CDs. If you go way, way back, cassettes, and people had to go there. That's what the process was, and you had to, buy music. I have, an album collection that goes way, way back, and, to pull out posters and liner notes and all that was, very cool for me, growing up. But, now we're in a completely social media and streaming digital landscape. The artist now is their own boss, to place music in all the platforms. There's so many. I really like myself, Reverb Nation. I think Reverb Nation has great tools for the artists to find gigs, digital distribution, and many, many, many more things, and to engage with their fans. And then you're not waiting for a promoter or a record label in this case. You can just, start from day one, and you're the boss. What are your thoughts on the music scene today?
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, one thing you missed, though, you missed 8 tracks. If you go back far enough, 8 tracks. My stepdad had 8 tracks in his van he would listen to.
Oh, boy.
And then the cassettes, and then there was the CDs, and now it's a digital. And you just wonder, what's it going to be next, There's just so many.
Who developed the 8-track, Randy? I mean, that is such a – I can't even – if I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but you'd be in between – you'd be right in the middle of a song, and then you would hear a click, and then it would carry over, like interrupt it.
It would go over to the other side. Yeah, I remember that now that you mention it. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've heard one of those, but yeah, I remember that now. I don't know why.
Wow, 8 tracks. That's probably the most malfunctioned engineered device for music known to mankind.
Yeah. It's almost like the old Nintendo NES, put the little cartridge in there and you have to blow the dust off it and shake it around and everything else. And there's been a lot of improvement.
Yeah, it seems like streaming now is the future. I mean, I'm going into Best Buy and stores similar, and CDs are completely fading out. And it's almost becoming now a CD is going to be like your business card. I mean, you have to maybe print a few, maybe 100 or so, just for a promotional purpose. But, streaming is, where it is. It's, I think fans want to hear their favorite track, and they're not so inclined to sit down and listen to the whole, album and whole story, which is sad in a way.
Yeah, and there's also been, a bit of a revival with the old vinyl comeback. For a while, and it's still kind of going. and you see record players. I mean, you didn't see record players in, like, walking in the store. You didn't see them for years, and now you go in there and there's, like, so many different varieties, you know. Places like Kohl's and even Walmart, you know, there's record players in there you can get. And that's actually, I think, kind of a good thing, because I think people like the artwork of it. It's big, it's large, it's something tangible, something that can be worth value in the future. Where, you know, see, how many CDs have you ever bought that the case cracked or broke? I mean, so easily they break, they get scratched. I mean, the old vinyl would get scratched too, but they were a little bit more durable and tough. And if you took care of them, they'd last a long time. And they just had a warmer sound to them too.
No, it does. And I just enjoyed listening to the whole, you know, the whole album. Just listening, you know, I mentioned Pink Floyd. I mean, I the brilliance, you know, in that band, and just, you know, listening to the whole thing. And, you know, I mean, I exactly knew where they were going and what they were trying to say. And, but not everybody feels that way. You know, some people just like to hear, you know, one track that's good too. Everyone has a choice.
Yeah, there's a lot of playlists made now too. I mean, you didn't have that before. You know, the mixtape idea, and you have a lot of people with playlists and different songs on them from different bands, and kind of making their own album for themselves. And I think that's a cool thing too. I still like the idea of the album, because, you know, the artist is trying to say something, and you should be able to listen to the whole thing, you know, as a whole, and you know, see what they're talking about and what it's all about. So especially if it's a concept album. You don't see a lot of those anymore because it's so single oriented now. But I still like the concept and the idea of the album, if it's good. I mean, you can take someone, if you force someone to write 12 songs and throw them on an album, and they're not that good of a songwriter in the first place, because you have a lot of people, and, you know, the major label artists, they use songs from other people. A lot of them don't write their own music. Some of them do.
Yep.
But you'll get an album with, you know, two or three great songs, and the rest is crap. So what's the point? But if you really focus on, hey, I'm going to make every song a single, every song is going to be attractive in some way, you know, not necessarily poppy or whatever, but just something good about it. You know, like Pink Floyd, you know, that wasn't really pop music, but people loved it and it was good. And AC/DC's Back in Black album way back was one of those albums you could listen to the whole thing, you know. And Fleetwood Mac Rumors. The Rumors album is still one of the top-selling albums of all time still. And there's a reason for that. People connected with it, and every song was treated as a masterpiece. You know, Lindsey Buckingham was another one of my influences, him and Stevie Nicks. And, you know, the way they approached the music and made it, every song counted, every song mattered. And I think people need to get back to that instead of just throwing a bunch of junk out there. And people need to perfect the craft.
I think we've named four or five bands that are have to be in the top ten of all
time.
And that's, you know, that's the beauty of music. I love to listen to the story, and you made a very good point. You know, I don't write lyrics, and, you know, I'm doing it for the love of music, not, you know, if you could develop a career and earn fame and fortune, that'd be wonderful. But that's not the reason any artist does it. They do it because they love to write. I love to write. I love to create, and I love to put songs out there that people can connect to.
And it's very crowded. You know, with all the new technology that you mentioned that we have, it's caused it to be very crowded, because everyone has something to say, either by song or, you know, oil painting even, or whatever. And it's a crowded field too. And so there's a lot of, I don't want to use the word competition, but, you know, in a sense, they're competing for your ears. So many people are competing for, hey, listen to this song. Hey, listen to my song. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges of all the new technology we have, is that it's a very crowded field, and it takes a lot to stand out in that field. And you just have to really up your game and become really good at your craft and practice and write. You know, I've written hundreds and hundreds of songs, you know, and I'll pick the best ones out of the batches and record those. And then when the ones I'll pick the best of those.
Yeah, I absolutely love the studio. Studio is wonderful. We have a studio here in the Tampa Bay area called Clear Track Studios. I love going there. Probably going to do one more full CD, and maybe after that, after three completed, I'll maybe start to focus on, you know, singles, and maybe book maybe a 10-hour, you know, block of time, and just work on singles from there. But I love that whole process. They have a big, you know, big soundboard, and just everything about it, just breaking down the instruments and recording vocals over it, and it's the best. So, Randy, what do you have coming up next with yourself and Barley Station, which I found out tonight is yourself, and upcoming projects, and where can everybody find you online with all of your social media?
Well, the next big project is I have an album. I actually have just finished it. I got all the songs finally done, and I'm in the process of slugging out work for it. And that's going to be out sometime later this year. I haven't picked a date yet on it, but it was going to have 11 songs on it, but I ended up with 12 because one song turned out just absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't discard it for later. Now this has to go on there because it kind of fits. Yeah, so that's going to be coming out, so keep your eye out for that. We're on the web at barleystation.net. And on Facebook, Barley Station there. I'm on Twitter, Reverb Nation, and all the places you would, the usual suspects. Of course, iTunes and Spotify. And I think Spotify is probably one of my favorites now for using.
Me too.
You can listen to an album entirely and then have the old school effect of the album, you know, listening thing. So I like that a lot. And so we're there too.
Yep, Spotify with playlist, and your sounds are blended in with other artists. I would agree. I think I like Spotify is number one for me with all the many platforms out there. So, Randy, thank you very much for being on the show. That's all we have time for tonight. And I have great respect for you as an artist and your sound, and it's very smooth. It's wonderful. Like I said, I can close my eyes and I could be in a hammock on the beach. Listening to your your tracks. I really appreciate you being on. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Yep. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Everyone, please visit my website, RussellFoiseyMusic.com, to include Island Dream Records, and I will help connect your music to online digital platforms, hopefully such as Spotify and many others. I would be more than glad to help. My name again is Russell Poisey, your host of the Original Lyrics Dream Radio Show. Thank you again, Bill. And remember, try no matter what you're told. Good night.
Stop the end, stop the end.